Good morning. Welcome into In Focus, News Radio KMAN here on a Friday morning. We've got another fine show lined up for you here today. A little bit later on, we're going to hear from the animal shelter. Deb Watkins is going to pass along some end of year updates on adoptions. They had a good year doing that. We're also going to hear from Shepherd's Crossing doing some good work in our community as well. But we start off with our regular segment here with Ascension Via Christi. Bob Koppel joins us. He is the president and CEO of the hospital. Good morning, Bob.
Morning, Brandon.
Pleasure to have you on again. It's not every time we get to have you back-to-back days, but we appreciate that. I know you're busy.
It's been a big media week.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, boy, I mean, you're probably filled with Zooms. You have a Zoom every day, it seems like.
Work-wise, that's constant. And then, this week we had Riley County Health Department. Julie Gibbs and I kind of trade off the Tuesday, Thursdays morning slots. And then this is just kind of, our monthly opportunity to just kind of get caught up on some things. So,
well, I woke up this morning, Bob, and I felt like it's been a wild week. Like, it just felt like there's been a lot of news, even though it hasn't been, as wild as some weeks. But the news this week just been so fluid. It's changing constantly, and for the better, I think. We're getting more vaccines. We saw yesterday Riley County got 2,500 more delivered to the health department. So that's good news. Very encouraging, I think, this week from what we saw.
I think, Brandon, that's exactly true. What has been hard, so actually one of the health department people reached out to me and said, hey, this is happening. And it's one on the one hand, pretty exciting. It's like, this is really now we're going to get rolling, because that's huge quantity. We can actually make huge impact with a lot of people. Now we're talking about big chunks of the county population. And so it's just, how do you fairly immediately, and the health department's starting today. They're lining up. The last of group one is actually, we still have a lot of healthcare workers in the community. And these might be folks who work in dental office, optometry, still some of the physician clinics. But they're starting today. They've got people scheduled. We have practices around town. It's going to be a little inconvenient for some patients, but they're actually closing. They're closing to get their entire staff over there in their time slot, get vaccinated, here. And then I believe the county's also got people scheduled within that same population all through tomorrow as well. And what this really does is this opens up the beginning of group two, which are our first responders, other essential, utility, those kinds of workers. This will be the beginning of education workers being vaccinated. And so, it's a very positive thing. It's pretty exciting. A lot of work ahead, obviously, but this is it's a very, very good step here as we are in the middle of January.
Yeah, and I thought it was very encouraging also to see that the sign-up list here from the health department, they had over 5,000 people already sign up to get the vaccine once it becomes available. And I think that's a positive sign. And obviously the one way out of this, and I've heard you talk about it, I've heard others talk about it, is getting people vaccinated. Ideally, we'd like to get as many as we can.
So, a good target one of our physicians had talked to me about is ideally we would have 85% of the eligible population be vaccinated. And there's really a lot of reasons for that, but we already know that people can have immunity to COVID and still carry it and transmit it to others. And so that's why you really need this high percentage of the population to be vaccinated. I honestly think no different than the county saying anybody who's interested, start signing up, and you have like in 24 hours, you have thousands of people signing up, right? So we have a lot of folks who are very interested, very willing, and ready to take that step as soon as the vaccine's available. And it's just helping everybody else kind of understand the importance and to sort out. I think there's a lot of information that's getting pushed out, some of it valid, some of it completely invalid. And how do you help people sort through all of that? If this is not your particular background or this is not your area of expertise or knowledge, we always, again, for us, we always, direct people back. Have you talked to your own personal physician about this? And you don't need to call them today. I think because one, we don't have the vaccine available today. So wait till you're going in for, your next appointment over the next month or two, or if you're having your annual physical or whatever you're doing. And while you're there, take 2 minutes and just say, what do you think about this given my personal health situation? you know, I'm kind of on the fence, or I'm going to do it, or if you're thinking you're not going to do it, you need to have that same conversation about, well, why? And give your healthcare provider a chance to talk to you about that. You know, we've actually shared pretty openly, because it's true, 100% of our active medical staff, so that's the physicians who have privileges on our medical staff here at the hospital, 100% have been vaccinated. That, to me, should speak volumes to our community about the importance and the value when our when every single one of our physicians are saying, yes, I'm going to get vaccinated. I think that's a huge, huge message that our medical community is actually sharing, you know, back with the wider community.
Yeah. I'm speaking with Bob Koppel, Ascension Via Christi, President and CEO. And, you know, I plan to get my vaccine as soon as it becomes available. I can't wait. I've had COVID, but wasn't as bad as I know some people have had it. And that doesn't necessarily mean that COVID's going away. If we get 85% vaccinated, I think this is something we're just going to have to live with here in the future.
So COVID will become another illness. You know, again, it's obviously wreaked havoc on the world, economy, people's personal lives, how we do things. A year from now, that's very different, I think. That would be what I would foresee. But I was at Huddle yesterday afternoon at 3 o'clock, our nursing staff up on third floor, we have what's called afternoon huddle. And it's one of the things we talked about was this is actually never going to go away. We will forever now have patients who have COVID. And no different than we have people with other diseases. And so what's going to be the constant adaptation? We certainly do not believe we're going to have the numbers of people that we currently have. This is hopefully a very abnormal, just big bump. But I do think we're going to, you know, forever people will have this potential illness. So,
yeah. Well, that's a good way to transition here. You know, as far as numbers are concerned, with all the good we're talking about, then we did see a little turn in hospitalizations this week. We had the most we've ever seen here at your hospital.
So we have been as high as 25 positive inpatients this week. This morning we start with 22 positives, and we also have 3 PUIs, or persons under investigation, so waiting on lab work. So, you know, we're going to have that same sort of potential number. This week, I would say it's been kind of fairly consistent of every day we're discharging 2, 3, 4 people, and we're admitting 2, 3, or 4 positive COVID patients. So it's kind of leveled a little bit. This is actually a lot, though. For a community our size, this is a lot of people to have in the hospital at one point with COVID. So certainly it area of concern. We continue to emphasize to people the need to social distance, the need to wear your mask. Hand hygiene is incredibly important. We have seen with some of our current patients that this is a result, we believe, of some family gatherings over the holidays, because we've got siblings in our hospital, for example. So just really, you know, emphasize small groups specifically. Just because we're in a small group, it doesn't really make it any different than being in a group of 50, other than you just have fewer people that you're being exposed to. So it's still important to take, you know, be careful about your distance, wear a mask, you know, just be smart.
Yeah. Well, and we kind of wondered if we'd see a spike in the numbers. I feel like the numbers that we've been seeing, like the new cases coming in, have been pretty steady. We've 100 here, 100 here. I haven't really seen it go down a whole lot, but you wondered if we'd see a huge bump. But maybe we will still see that when students return, like we did in August and September, but I don't know, because they're going to be online for a couple of weeks. Maybe that'll help mitigate it. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, across the state, we're probably seeing 2,200 to 2,500 new cases a day. We're seeing in the range of, you know, probably 50 to 65 hospitalizations, new hospitalizations a day across the state. And it just, you know, that is not, I kind of agree with you. It's kind of at a steady state right now. That's not a good place to be, obviously. You'd want that to be less. But we kind of saw a bump, and again, we've kind of leveled. And now I think everybody's kind of waiting, because it's always like we talked before, there's this timing thing of you have the event where there's the exposure, and then you go a couple of weeks, and that's when you start to see the positives about, you know, maybe days 8 through 12. And then another week and a half, 2 weeks later is when you start to see the hospitalizations, and then the deaths typically lag that by another 8 to 10 days. So we're kind of still in that period, waiting to see. The secret always is reducing the number of positives. because everything else is, quite honestly, is pretty consistent percentage that end up being hospitals, percent that are fatalities. That's pretty consistent as well. So if you just shrink the original number, by virtue of that, we've tended to shrink the other two things. So.
This has come up a little bit. I've had some questions about this, but if you've had COVID and let's say you get exposed to somebody else, you find out later on, hey, someone else has had COVID. I was around them. Would you have to isolate again? I guess I would imagine you would because you can still transmit it.
Yeah, well, there's actually a couple reasons. So we're still learning. There actually was a study just out here in the last day or two about the immunity level, and this was done in Britain, I believe, the study, the immunity level that people carry after they've been positive COVID. And it would appear that for some people, they'll actually have some level of immunity for several months. The inconsistency is just the question. So we've had people here in the state of Kansas, and we're not talking tons of people, but we actually have instances in the state of Kansas where people have actually gotten a second COVID infection. It is almost always much worse, and it has had some really bad outcomes. And I don't know that we really understand yet why certain people actually get the second infection, because they would have been in that window where you would have expected them to have the immunity, because it's typically been just a few months after the first case. So, I mean, I think that there's so many things like that that we just don't really know for sure. So that's one huge thing. To your point, you can actually have immunity to COVID because you're a past patient or past, you know, person who's had that, and you can still carry it and transmit it to other people. And so that's why the need to, again, have all the precautions. I actually know some folks who've been quarantined 3 and 4 times over the last 9-10 months now, which is not, you know, just kind of messes up their work life, their personal life, everything, but it's just out of necessity. So, that's why we always encourage people just to be careful, follow those kind of three things, try to keep yourself from any potential exposure, and that way you don't even have to worry about the quarantining.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's kind of complex, so there's no question.
Yeah.
Every situation's a little different.
We're speaking with Bob Koppel, Ascension Via Christi Hospital President and CEO. We got to take a break, but we'll come back. We'll have more after this here on News Radio KMAN.